You are listening to station WGN.
Oh, a microphony!
And a phony at the mic! Yeah. Whoa!
And radio became an accepted vehicle for nationwide news and opinion.
Notify all radio and TV stations to broadcast the following message.
Oh, is that the comedy spot?
No, Bubblehead, this isn't a comedy spot.
You're a fun guy, Dave. You're lonely on an island.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is exciting, isn't it?
10, 5, 4, 3, 2...
WGN and a happy Sunday morning, everybody. Dave Plyer is out today. It is myself, John Hanson, and Esmeralda Leon filling in until 5 a.m. this morning. And Esmeralda, so good to see you again.
Yeah, ditto.
You it's baked been a, bit. A cake today.
I did. Thank you.
It looked incredible on the Instagram Live. You got your new KitchenAid mixer and had a great time with it. How'd it turn out?
Half of it almost fell off.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, it was fine. Frosting fixed it.
You just patched it on up.
Yeah, frosting fixes everything.
I do the
That's
same
the
thing.
Entire reason for frosting.
I do the same thing with my drywall. Just get a little frosting up there. It works out just fine.
Frosting is a multi-use product.
Curtis Koch, how you doing, my friend?
Doing really well. How about you guys?
Doing very well. I'm excited for this show tonight. As you said, Esmeralda, it's been a while since we've been together here on the G.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute, and it'll be another minute before the next one, but we're having a good time. And let's say hello to Roger Banish. Roger, how you doing here this morning?
Good morning, lady and gentlemen.
It's so nice to see you, Raj.
Good to see you guys. You were on yesterday afternoon.
I was on the new business lunch, yes, and which went longer than expected because the White Sox were supposed to come in around 12:30 for the pregame, but we went to 1:00. Then I went up to the ball game. I was up at Wrigley.
You had a good time up there.
Well, for
your
the
freezer
no,
took us off.
I had a terrible time because I went for about an hour and a half.
Oh no!
I made it late to the game. I brought the new guy, and he had never been in the bleachers before. Uh-huh. And the whole time I'm like, it's usually more fun than this. The Cubs were getting killed. It was
more
rainy. It was sleety. It was windy, and we stayed through the sixth.
Uh-huh.
And it was just too darn cold. And they were down 10-3 at that point when I left. And I left knowing well that in a weather game like that, where there is that much slick conditions, that sort of stuff, I knew it was possible the Cubs would come back. This was not me saying there's no chance. There was just no chance I was going to sit there anymore during
and
it.
And wait for it.
Right. And I actually just moved up to a new place near the ballpark in Lakeview.
Yeah.
So it was my couch is just so close, Roger.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And so we went and walked back. And when I was getting lunch, I could hear the noise from the crowd. So we ended up watching the end of the game. But as a self-described giant Cubs fan, I was very disappointed in myself for leaving early, but that's okay.
That's all right. Fair. You're not quite a fair weather fan yet.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I've always, you know, in if you would have told me as a young kid that I'd ever leave a game early as an adult, I would have slapped myself. I remember once me and my dad left a game because it was raining. They had a rain delay. The Cubs were losing. It was a night game, so we drove back to Downers Grove, and we listened to the Cubs have an astonishing comeback on the radio on the way home, and I swore there never to leave a game again early, but things have changed now that I'm old.
Yeah, but the good news is they won.
They won. That's all that matters.
In great fashion.
You should get yourself a dome.
My own personal dome?
Mm-hmm.
You mean an umbrella?
No, like a dome. You'd be sealed up, real warm in there.
Just a movable, a hamster wheel would go,
exactly.
Like a little hamster ball. Walk
yeah, and
around.
You'd never leave a game.
They should put all the players should have one of those as well. Who needs retractable roofs?
Yeah, there we go.
Just get everyone in a little thing. But
slamming into each other.
I can't believe they played that game. I mean, I know that the weather's not better tomorrow, so they couldn't do a doubleheader tomorrow.
Right.
If they even get tomorrow's game in, I know the Braves aren't coming back to town, and that's an issue. And then they'd have to find a mutual day off. It'd be a real mess for the schedule, but.
I thought that was the fun of it.
You know, what's interesting is for football
slipping
weather.
Slipping and sliding.
See, everyone loves it for football weather. You're right. People gear up for that. That's bear weather.
No one wants to see the baseball player slide around on the bases.
Right, and I wonder what the difference is in our psyche. Is it just because we expect baseball to be played?
I think it's because baseball is associated with summer.
Right.
And you're associated with sitting out in the bleachers, getting a tan, having a cold one with a hot dog or two.
Well, there was something cold about it.
Yesterday. Yeah,
there was. I did.
Yeah, your beer would never get warm.
It didn't. It was really nice and chilly.
See?
For three and a half innings.
Benches cleared. then you could have had a football game.
Yeah, we could have. We should have just done that. But yeah, Bear fans love that. They love the cold weather. They gear up for it. Yeah. And there's plenty of Bears fans that cross over as Cubs fans. But
well, you know, Wrigley Field, they used to play Bears
for sure,
games there.
Yeah, for 40-some sure. years.
And actually, they're talking about getting a permanent bowl game at yes. Wrigley Field now.
In
too.
Fact, when they built the dugouts the way they did, the new dugout configuration at Wrigley Field for this year, they're built to be able to retract back a little bit mm-hmm. to be able to fit a football field. 312-917-200, talk or text. Esmeralda, we've got a good show today.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of baseball, there is a musical that is just starting a new run at the Annoyance Theater. It's called Striking Out, and it is a musical, a gay baseball musical, which will make more sense when we talk to the folks that are here and exactly what that means. But I went and saw it tonight, and it was fantastic. And we've got the writer and of the lyrics, as well as some of the casters, are going to be hanging out too. So we're going to be chatting with them a little bit later. And Esmeralda, you sent some great stories this week. You always do. But
yes, thank you.
I like this one that we're going to chat about getting over exes.
Mm. I mean, mine's been a long time.
Right.
Yours is a little fresh. A
little bit fresher. Are you talking about your longest
yes.
ex? Yes.
But that's like years now.
Yes, exactly. But there's tons of apps. I didn't know that there were these apps.
Technology, man.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of technology, even though technology has changed a bunch, we probably still recognize many sounds of old technology that we're going to try and play a little game of called Name That Sound, where we have listeners battle against each other. We're going to play you an audio clip of some old technology, and you're going to have to guess what it is. And a bunch of other shenanigans, Esmeralda.
Oh.
Just
I didn't know they were shenanigans.
So many shenanigans.
Goodness.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Then we're going to jump on with the folks with Striking Out Musical. That's all coming up here on 720 WGN.
Let's go. Batter up. We're taking the afternoon off. It's a beautiful day for a ball game.
Sure wasn't today in Minnesota or in the north side of Chicago. Terrible weather for baseball, but it was a great night to go see a musical about baseball. Striking Out is the name of the musical. It's at the Annoyance Theater in Esmeralda. It is a gay baseball musical, which I know is your favorite genre.
Of course. I love gay baseball movies.
Exactly. And so this is really up your alley.
Oh, for sure.
And this is a musical, Striking Out, and right now we've got, six people. We've got two people behind the scenes and four members of the cast right here joining us, or we'll be jumping on at some point on the microphone. But we're going to start with Adam Levin and Ryan Ford. You guys wrote Striking Out, a gay baseball musical. And the first question is, why?
That is a... That is the question.
I saw it, and it's fantastic. I loved it.
Thank
Let's
you.
Get
Thank
that
you
out
so
of the
much.
Way. And
yeah.
It's going to be every Saturday at the Annoyance for the next couple of months. You're in previews. You had one this week. You'll have one again next mm-hmm. week. But where did the inspiration come from? Because there's a lot of allusions to the kind of the Cubs of 2016.
Yes.
Is that where the genus of the idea started?
So this is sort of the backstory, John.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take you to a restaurant about three blocks that way.
Okay.
And
he pointed south. This is radio.
Yes.
So.
Are we not on camera right now?
No. Yeah. That was in the south direction down Michigan Avenue.
Great. So Ryan and I met at an improv class about 5 years ago, and... I have no life or job skills, so he got me a job at a restaurant.
That's
mm-hmm.
true.
Yeah, I am one of the worst waiters and bartenders you'll ever meet in
okay.
your life. And the bar we would work at, you could only watch ESPN. There was like six TVs, but you were never allowed to change the channel. It's like, 'cause the sports is like the most neutrally safe channel to watch.
Right.
And so we would just make fun of ESPN all day. Because, you know, I think ESPN's made to watch it like 15, 20 minutes at a time.
Yes.
But we would watch it like 6 to 7 hours a day. And you just right. saw like the hilarious habits that all these ESPN shows had. And this was during the Michael Sam era, the first openly gay football player to be drafted.
Right.
And I personally was just kind of taken aback and a little offended by the coverage on ESPN. And so the idea kind of came to me basically where if it was flipped and just like, how would they be talking about this if it was people who identify as gay and they were talking about a straight person to be drafted? And I asked Ryan if he wanted to write it with me because he is a musical genius. And He said yes, and I'm so happy he did.
And that forms the basis of the musical. The idea is that is a straight baseball player who tries out auditions. No spoilers here. This is all in the first 10 minutes. Who tries out to be part of, and it's not a gay baseball team. The implication is that the entire league is gay. Baseball is just gay.
In this reality, if you want to be a professional, it's assumed that every professional athlete identifies as gay. Yes.
Which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Ryan, what were your thoughts when you got on board with this?
Oh, man. I feel like my first thought was this is a dicey idea or perhaps a terrible idea.
So somewhere between dicey and terrible.
That's a good place to be. Just,
you have to hop on board to, I think, the universe without it seeming kind of strange.
Right.
And, you know, we are two straight white guys, so it seems like an odd choice. But Adam was passionate about it, and I think for me, I really shifted in thinking about it when there's a podcast I listen to. It's like a history podcast, and they were that day telling a story about Glenn Burke, who was the first, actual openly gay baseball player, although I think he officially came out after
he had retired, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they were going into the details how Lasorda had sort of run him through the ringer. He was going to be paid off to go on a honeymoon to get married. And it was like, oh, this is insane the lengths that people will go to cover up something so, you know, absolutely normal. So it's just like, well, what if we flip the script? What, like, let's make it and show that it is ridiculous to treat people like an other when it's just, this is sports, it's baseball, it's all of us.
So as two straight males then, because the show is obviously very gay and touches, I'm gay, mm-hmm. and I brought my boyfriend and we laughed at so many inside gay, kind of, not inside gay jokes, but jokes that would be really funny to gay people and straight people as well. But did you have did you go to your gay friends as for consultants and jokes? I mean, because you obviously want to represent the world in a way that makes the most sense.
Well, the good thing is, so we have a cast of 14, and I would say the majority of the cast does identify as LGBTQ. And so throughout the rehearsal process, we were both pretty open at any time, and anything that didn't seem right or either going too far or not far enough, the conversation was pretty open the entire time, and we were constantly checking in, because that's obviously the last thing we would ever want to do is not either offend someone or get that incorrect.
But of course, find the right jokes at the right time as well.
Yeah.
Where do you start writing lyrics and getting songs in here? Because like when I was watching the musical, the thing I was most, because I've seen a lot of improv musical based groups in Chicago all over the place. Most of them are great, and every night it's, you know, but improv is always hit or miss, obviously, with more something written out in sketch.
I don't know, John. I think every improv show is fantastic.
Well, that's what all the performers think. But, I mean, I was just blown away that the musical, it has many of the similar themes that you see in every musical you'd see if you saw Downtown in Chicago, and that different songs obviously have different influences and come different styles of music. Ryan, where do you start with that stuff? I mean, what comes first, lyrics or the sound or what? I mean, what happens? Do you just drink a bottle of Jack and just see what happens? Like, I don't know how this goes.
He knows your secrets.
No. I wish it was with a bottle of Jack. It actually was Adam did a bunch of research about sort of your standard musical, what types of songs should go where. So before we even got to the process of writing the music, we sat down together and broke down the show and be like, oh, this type of this sort of want song goes here. It was very boring and clinical, but it was important work to do, because then we sort of had the bones of this thing, and then we could do the fun part, which is, you know, tinker around with guitars and pianos. And
Yeah, actually, I ordered this book that the producer of Hairspray wrote. I might mispronounce or forget the title, but I think it was like The Secret Life of the American Musical.
Okay.
And they talked a lot about the structure. And then I also got the book for Book of Mormon. And I just like studied that as well to break it down. And yeah, like he said, we were literally just like, what is our I want song? And then it was way more boring than I wish I could tell you this moment. Yeah.
Right. That's fascinating, though, to see. And you could see that in the structure. Like, I could tell what was going to be the last song of the first act when it came, even though there was a quick scene right before the intermission there. But, I mean, it had that normal musical stuff, which I find, as an audience member, Esmeralda, I don't know if you're a huge fan of musicals, but there's something comforting about that sort of thing. I mean, I think that some people could say, oh, it's, you know, it can get cookie cutter the way many musicals are. But as a musical lover, it's nice to know, and it's nice to hear great melodies and the voices that you guys have and the cast behind you. I mean, it's really well pulled off.
Well, John, if I may ask, what is your favorite musical? And basically, does it involve the show you saw tonight?
Yes, it was. Right. It's called Striking Out. It's a gay baseball musical. And
Esmeralda, would you say the same thing, even though you didn't come
yeah,
to the show?
Yeah, I have not seen it and know not much about it, but that is my favorite musical ever. I saw it as a young babe.
Right.
And I Ooh. Still love it today.
You were the baby in the crowd tonight?
Yes. Right. Yeah, I grew fast.
This is not the first run of this musical. So when this is it's kind of it's back again, right? When did it run before?
It is back and bigger than ever.
Right.
Ryan, it was October to November of last year, right?
It was the fall.
The fall, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it it ran Sunday nights in the fall at the Annoyance. It had 9 of the 14 cast members you saw tonight. Mm-hmm. They came back. Jordan Lee Cohen, who you will talk to later, she's one of the new cast members. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we kind of we were really proud of what we did the first run, but we just knew there was more, and we wanted to make it bigger and better, and we had all these ideas that we just couldn't fit into the first run. So we're just thrilled that Annoyance let us take another crack at it.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite part about watching it tonight? Like watching it see it unfold? And the crowd was great. I know for a preview show, you never know who's going to be coming by, friends, family. A lot of times you're giving out tickets. Thank you guys, by the way. And for me. And what was it like seeing that final moment? I mean, I'm sure you guys nitpicked on certain things that you know you want to fix moving forward. But overall, thoughts?
Ryan?
Oh, man. I find myself doing this thing every time I watch it. And I'm playing in the pit band now. So I have to think about things sometimes. But even then, I always like slowly crawl to the front of my seat for all the emotional parts. And it's crazy because I know exactly what's going to happen. We wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I'm just like, ooh, this is intense. and it's nice. And it has, you know, everything to do with the actors we have. They take the material and they just run with it and put all the heart into it that we could ask for.
Yeah, another thing is, too, because this was the first preview of the new run, so there's new, I would say, probably 2 new songs, 3 new scenes, we rewrote some stuff, and there's some stuff that, like, we thought of 7 months ago that we were just like, that'll work,
mm-hmm.
and just the when it actually does, you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So it's so gratifying that an idea you thought of almost a year ago, like, in front of an audience, because you don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know, John.
I don't want to. This is not another spoiler, but I won't go too far. But I think my favorite part was there's a cameo by Babe Ruth in a way.
It's true.
That was so unexpected and just so wonderful. When you think of an idea like that, and if it's a collaborative process, and I guess I could ask about that. The Annoyance, known for a lot of improv and known for sketch as well. Did a lot of the musical kind of get formed as in rehearsals or little lines, or was most of it on the page and on the paper,
so
what we saw tonight?
We wrote pretty much everything before rehearsal started, and we wrote the majority of it in the long room and at Pick Me Up Cafe and Ryan's living room. So
shout out to my living room.
Yes. but yeah, we basically, yeah, I would say 90% of it was written. And then obviously the cast in rehearsals, like if they came up with a good bit or a good line, we're just, and it crushed, we put it in, and
right.
we're so happy for them.
That's
yeah.
awesome. We got to take a quick commercial break. Adam and Ryan, the writers of Striking Out, a gay baseball musical playing at the Annoyance Theater. It's going to be Saturdays at 8 o'clock on the main stage from now until when? June? Right.
June 16th.
That's a whole night. This is the spring and summer.
Yeah.
So there
yeah.
we go. We got baseball our seasons season. Down. Yeah,
yeah.
Sort of, kind of. And we're going to talk to some cast members too after the news. Guys, thanks so much for stopping by and joining us. We're going to take a quick commercial break, then the news here on 720 WGN. Esmeralda, since gay baseball movies are your favorite genre,
mm-hmm.
do you know why Curtis is leading into this next segment with
you
this song?
You tell me.
It's because this
I
is
already know.
Greens. You do? Yeah, this
yeah.
is a what, Green Onions and
yes, that's correct.
It's from Sandlot.
And it's actually the 25th anniversary of that movie.
It is. Then that was the first gay baseball movie ever
yeah.
made.
Good job. I'm glad you knew that.
It certainly made me gay watching Benny Rodriguez. I shouldn't say that about teenagers. Anyways,
no,
this is I was young at the time. I was
okay.
All right. 720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Dave Plyer. Dave Plyer would never say that. We're filling in we're here. We're here with the cast now. A couple members of the cast of Striking Out, which is a gay baseball musical playing at the Annoyance Theater and Bar. I had a chance to see it last night, technically, I guess. It runs every Saturday at 8 o'clock. It's a great show. And joining me now are the two leads, the love interests of Striking Out. We've got Laurel Saw-Pelton, who plays the part of Penny, right?
Yes, that's me. I play Penny. My name's Laurel.
By the way, Penny's just such a great musical name. It's just, it just really works.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan Cashman, who plays the new star in town. What's your character's name? Jimmy, is it? No.
Jimmy Roberts.
Jimmy Roberts.
Jimmy Roberts.
And Ryan, I got to say, it was so fascinating because I had talked through, this is how the stuff is done these days. I talked through whoever ran your Instagram account, which turns out it was Adam, about the show. That's how I found about it through Instagram. That's how I was able to go see the show. So I had no idea until the moment that you walked on stage that it was you, because Ryan Cashman and I go way back. He went to Downers Grove South High School, which is
a
speech team, 17-time state champions. You went to Illinois State University as well. And you're back here in Chicago. You're friends with my younger brother, and I know your sister. And then you came on stage. And Ryan, I had no idea you could sing.
Oh, well.
And not only can you sing, you sing incredible.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it was a blast. Actually, you know what? I saw you in the crowd, too, and it took all my energy to be like, oh, John.
You should have
done
that.
I was very much like in character.
Right. No.
In
yeah.
The you, zone, raising the stakes at all times.
So, how did you guys get involved in this project? How did you catch wind of it? Was it an audition process? How did it work, Laurel? How'd you get involved?
Yeah. Well, I know Adam and Ryan very well. They're dear friends. Yeah. And Adam. Well, Adam, when he was writing it, he was like, hey, I'm writing this like show, like, and like I've got this lead that I'm writing, and like I'm kind of like having you in mind for it. And then I had to leave town when the show was first originally mounted, so I didn't, so like it went up and I like wasn't in it, and I watched people post about it on the internet, and I was like, oh man, that looks like fun. And then he said they were remounting it, and I was like, oh please, can I please? And he was like, yeah, please. And so now I get to do it.
That's it. And the first night, were you happy with how everything went?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a banger.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the audience, but I feel like it was pretty great for a preview. Yeah.
Esmeralda and I were, and we say it was definitely a banger. That's the first thing we said to each other at intermission.
In what my Goo Goo Gagas, I said it was a banger.
What a banger.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, you play Jimmy, who you're the straight baseball player. And if you missed the earlier segment, the premise is that in this world, in this reality, all professional athletes are gay. It turns the whole thing around, and you have to pretend to be straight. And in fact, Laurel, who is your girlfriend, is not. She has to play what part? What do you fake it as?
Oh, right. My sister. She's my sister. We're sisters.
Right.
She's my sister.
Right.
Right.
And what? How did you get involved in the project?
Actually, Adam and I, we've crossed paths a couple different times in other different shows and performances. And then just one day, I was at work, and I got an email from Adam to come in and audition. And so when I went to the audition, actually, Laurel was already there. And I sang a jazzy version of Britney Spears' Toxic, which I felt was...
Wait, can you sing a little of that right now for us? Do you know an a cappella? Yeah. I mean, you set us up for that, so go ahead. Right. There is a jazzy version of Britney Spears' Toxic from Ryan Cashman.
All right, here we go.
Oh, my God.
It's getting late to give you up. I took a sip of your devil's cup. Slowly, it's taking over me.
Yeah. That is absolutely incredible.
Do you need a cigarette now?
Yeah.
I keep going, whatever.
You know, I gotta say, Ryan, is that not only was I impressed that you're singing, but you sing a lot of falsetto in this thing. I mean, have you always been someone that can sing those higher notes?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, great answer. That was a great question.
Even in high school,
John,
it's even in choir, I was I balanced out some when it was. Too guy heavy. They put me in alto, soprano. So yeah, and well, we had the same choir teacher.
Yes, hey. Yes.
So I remember times in high school when she and I actually worked on not even just hitting falsetto, but also hitting like a good mix. So
right.
I was able to kind of control that back in high school, and that was kind of cool. And then I also sang because my mom kept
throw me into things
right.
that involve singing.
Well, I think you're right, because bouncing between falsetto and normal singing and be able to keep the pitch is a really difficult thing to do, and you do it really well. Okay. Laura, what I also like about Penny's character is it's not just the love interest that kind of gets shafted for a while, and then, yay, everything ends up okay in the end. You have your own mission that you're going for, and I think that that really adds a nice dimension to the piece.
Oh, yeah. Penny's definitely got her own drive. And that's a big part of the whole show. And, like, the whole narrative is they go, they each have their own dreams. And I've been basically, like, she, like, has Ryan's back. And he's like, yeah, I've got yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they get to when the dreams actually start to happen. And it kind of, one of them doesn't have as much steam as the other. Or one isn't quite as supported as the other one is.
Right.
And it's a matter of pulling yourself up. And she kind of does the dang thing herself because she has to.
The very first song that I really got laughed the most at was a play, because you guys are from Iowa, is the set of it, and you have now moved to Chicago because you're in the big leagues. But while you're in Iowa, you sing a song, and I don't know how you guys came up with how many things could kind of rhyme with Iowa. Have you ever counted how many words there are that you say that rhyme with Iowa? Is it...
Oh, how many?
Yeah.
How many I count? Not yet.
You haven't counted
But,
yet.
You know, yeah, I could probably guesstimate a good, like, 30, 40 right. different Owas.
Right.
Owa rhyme schemes.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about the show, Laurel?
I mean, honestly, well, the writing is beautiful. I am, as a queer woman, I'm like a sucker for queer content. I love it. Wherever it is, I eat it up with a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is so funny, and the writing is brilliant, and the music is beautiful. But honestly, it's just a really wonderful experience to be in a cast with so many wonderful, talented queer folks. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it truly is so great and such a privilege to just be in a cast with these people.
I'm blanking on the name, but you guys all help me out. There's a resident group at the Annoyance that plays every Friday night, right?
Baby Wine,
exactly. We saw them a couple weeks ago. They're incredible. And it's an all LGBT improv group. And not to get too deep on it, Laurel, but I, as a gay man, I watched, and it is really nice to see a group, a musical dedicated to that sort of thing. And also to have Baby Wine, a group that is a queer oriented, most people in the group are of that orientation. Does that mean a lot to you to represent, to carry kind of that torch?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I've done some stuff with Baby Wine before, and I feel like Annoyance is really good. They're good at having houses where, like, it's a place where queer folks can go on, like, a weekend night and see queer art made by queer folks and just, like, be there and celebrate it and, like, have a bunch of fun and see really funny stuff.
Because as it turns out, queer people are pretty funny.
We're pretty funny.
Yeah, we make people laugh, yeah. And we've done it for a really long time.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Pretty good. Ryan, how about, I mean, that must be something that obviously you embrace as well in your role.
So, you know what, playing I think my biggest takeaway from this type of musical is the warmth and, like, the wonderfulness that you see on stage and, like, the ever-present type of people that you see on stage, you get off stage too.
Mm-hmm.
And so just from being in the dressing room to saying hello to each other when we go into the theater, you know, I've never in one day at any time we've ever met felt like an outsider, which is interesting because that's the stories about, you know, accepting and all that other good stuff. So and as someone who, you know, supports everything with LGBTQ and everything else within the community and with people in this play, what its purpose is, it's been fantastic just to be with such a family and a community of people who's been amazing.
It is really, you say warm and beautiful. I really got that vibe, too. I remember talking with the random Instagram account holder, Adam, as it turns out, because I was saying, Adam. You know, oh, maybe we could have you guys sing a song, but obviously you guys usually sing it with unless it's toxic. You guys usually play with accompaniment. I didn't want you guys to have you sing tonight, but I was like, oh, maybe we'll pick one of the more family-friendly songs. And not that there's not some, you know, humor in there that you couldn't use, but most of the songs I heard tonight don't have, you know, there aren't cheap, easy swears in there. It really is a musical that I think makes you laugh without trying to go for the low blow. Although there's a couple jokes out there, of course, that will make you laugh in that way. Laurel and Ryan, thank you guys so much for stopping by. We're going to switch you guys out with two more people after a quick commercial break. And good luck with the show, guys. Okay?
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Plenty more coming up on 720 WGN. Curtis, is this like ESPN sports intro music? What is this?
It's Pennant Fever from the movie Major League.
Major League, okay. Pennant Fever, Major League. It's obviously a baseball-themed first hour.
How did you not know that?
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Really? Off the top?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I mean, I knew it was definitely an 80s movie. I mean, you can tell just by the instrumentals there. We're talking Gay Baseball, a musical striking out, a gay baseball musical playing at the Annoyance Theater. We've been rotating the cast and the writers through on the microphones. And next up, we have Jordan Lee Cohen, who plays Susan. Mm-hmm. And we have Riley Wilson, who plays Otter Number 3.
That's right. Number 3.
The name of the team is the Otters.
That's right.
Riley, can you... In as best of language as you can, mm-hmm. explain the joke for those that don't know out there why the team is called the Chicago Otters.
I am so glad to field that question.
Right, because it's a gay musical.
So it's a gay musical. The gay community has different... I don't know. I feel like I'm going to say something not... I don't know. Oh, right. Gosh. I'm so...
What is an otter? I guess
an otter is like a skinny, hairy boy.
Skinny, hairy boy.
Don't ask me. I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Well, there's bears in the gay community.
Bears would be like a bigger than an otter.
Right.
An otter's like a small bear.
Right, exactly.
A wolf is also a thing.
There's a wolf now. There's muscle pups. There's all sorts of things. Yeah. We could spend an hour doing this. Yeah. Ooh. I'd put you in as a muscle pup there, Esmeralda. Yeah, no.
I myself am a muscle pup. Yeah, I would like muscle pups.
You would like muscle pups.
Probably.
I think you got your own little muscle pup going on.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah, there you go.
No, wait, now I know.
Now you know. So the team is named the Chicago Otters. By the way, Riley, that was the worst description of an otter ever. That took us 10 minutes to get.
I truly agree.
It's funny.
Am I a muscle pup?
Yes.
Cheers.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
I understand that it's hard to navigate those waters because you never want to say anything that offends anyone because we live in that age. But yes, it is. So the team is named the Otters, and you play Otter Number 3. But what I liked about the role of the, because there's kind of five of you guys that are playing what you would maybe call the chorus role, I guess you could say. But each of you has a distinct, none of you blend in a way. You all have a distinct kind of personality. Yeah. So why don't you describe who Otter Number 3 is?
Oh, I would love to. Okay. Otter Number 3 is a paper boy in Poughkeepsie in about 1936.
I mean, really? I mean, you're giving yourself a silly back story, but you put your voice and mannerism
actually trying to defend the accent I'm doing. I'm just doing this absurd accent, and you kind of like build back out from there.
Right, right.
You know?
What's the accent?
Oh, yeah, you got it.
Can you do it?
I mean, you can't say an absurd accent. You got to do it.
I got to think of like a line.
Line. A clean
New
line.
New Y City. Yeah, it's the hottest bar in New Y City.
Wow.
That's what I get from it.
That's Poughkeepsie,
Poughkeepsie. Yeah. That certainly is.
New Y City.
Right.
Poughkeepsie, New Y City.
And Jordan, your role is you and, what's your castmate's name? I'm sorry, I don't
Elizabeth.
Know.
Elizabeth. Andrews.
And she, you guys play this incredible, in a lot of musicals you have, I don't know what it would be called technically, but a lot of times in old musicals when they'd bring down the curtain, you need some other set piece, you need something else that was happening to move the story along and let the set kind of change and stuff like that. And that's not what I'm trying to say, that you're just there for the set, but that your role is so funny. You and Elizabeth play mock ESPN anchors in a way, and you guys are hilarious
Thank you.
I asked you off the air if you watched ESPN to kind of get inspiration, and
I said no and no way.
Yeah. Do you have an objection? Like, how did you find the inspiration? Is it just that you're playing a full mocked up character of what you've heard of or thought of?
Yeah, I think it's easier to play the stereotype of what a sports broadcaster is supposed to be. No offense, people go to school for so long to be sportscasters. We're making fun of them, I guess.
No, that's fine.
It's you know, the loud, like Alex Jones screamy type reporter. I don't know. So I also wasn't in this first iteration of the musical, but Elizabeth was, and she was already this big character that was so funny and so easy to latch onto and like just work with. So I think I've really just been gelling with her and doing.
You guys get incredibly loud in a couple different scenes.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just pray for your voice.
Oh, me too.
It sounds great, though, today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing okay. Because, I mean, it really is an intense scene, especially there's a scene you have with Ryan's character, Jimmy, where there's that play where you guys are really trying to grill him on questions.
The penalty box.
The penalty box, which, of course, is an allusion to some ESPN segment, I'm sure, that's been there before. The hot seat, anything like that, the penalty box, where you grill him on these questions. Walk through, because you also have an interesting interplay with Penny, because Penny's trying to become one of you guys, essentially.
Yes. So Elizabeth and I had such a good time deciding that we were going to be this big, aggressive characters, quote unquote, on the air, like when we're interviewing Jimmy, and these just absolute, like, fake feigned kindness, but like truly mean off camera.
Mm-hmm.
So when Laurel's character Penny like wants, this is her dream. We don't care. We don't even learn her name by the end. By mm-hmm. the end, we're like,
Peggy. I think you call her. Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point,
we're calling her weird things the whole time. Yeah.
Right.
Penny. Yeah.
Yeah.
But. We just have no, we have truly have no respect for her until she does the thing that we need her to do, which
right.
is, of course,
what you can't say, because otherwise that ruins the whole
thing. Yes, I'm not going to.
Right. Riley, how'd you get involved in the project?
Well, how did I get, like,
you know, every question I've asked you, you've had to look to the audience answer.
Adam is feeding me all of my answers.
Yes.
I actually was, I work with Adam. During the day, we have day jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. And
day jobs are fabulous.
They
pay bills.
We eat lunch together.
Right.
And I was actually not in the like very first casting. I was like, okay, that's hurtful.
Adam, right.
Because we eat lunch together a lot. And I have no qualms airing right. this on air.
Right, apparently.
And then the guy that he originally cast, he couldn't do it.
So you're the second choice.
So I'm second choice. I'm second string.
Second choice on the second run.
I'm third odd or second string.
Yes,
so
exactly.
You do the math. Chicago and America.
Well, Jordan and Riley, you guys were awesome. We got to cut this short because I want to get two more people on before we get
to the
news.
And they got to do the math, so
exactly.
We got to give them time.
Guys, thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to wrap up with our conversation about striking out a gay baseball musical after this on 720 WGN. I get a Mick, Curtis. What is this from?
Is this the A-Team?
No.
No, it's got to be another. Is it Rookie of the Year?
Yes, there you go.
Okay, it is from Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
It's been a baseball hour here on WGN. Esmeralda Leon and John Hansen filling in for Dave Plyer. We don't have too much more time. We're wrapping up our conversation with the cast and the writers of Striking Out, a gay baseball musical playing at the Annoyance Theater. And last two folks coming in are Rents, who plays the part of Babe Ruth.
I am the ghost of Babe Ruth in drag.
In drag?
Oh. In drag, baby.
And it comes in the second act.
And out of absolutely
out
nowhere.
Out of nowhere. In a, well, I don't want to give it any more away, but it is, your entrance and scene had me literally crying. I wanted to say something else that we're not supposed to say on the radio, but it was hilarious.
That is so great to hear. Every time I walk out and hearing the gasps,
mm-hmm.
Because you
got the Yankees jersey on.
I do.
So it slowly reveals itself, and you've got the glitter underneath the eye black.
Sunblockers?
Yeah, sunblockers. They're
functional.
Rents, I gotta ask, do you do drag?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I'm right now writing a bunch of music, mm-hmm. and I'm like slowly performing each song at different times, but I'm definitely looking to do more in the future. And this opportunity to be in the show was huge to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Adam brought me in really early in the process and knew that I loved drag, knew that I loved writing music, and invited me to take part in putting together this drag number.
Yeah. And yeah. I got to ask, so do you, I wondered when you were doing it, if you didn't sing it live because that's what drag is like too in many mm-hmm. ways, or if that was just a conscious decision that you'd prefer to have it recorded and
girl,
go from
we're
that.
Figuring it out.
Yeah, okay.
So
I didn't mind at all. I thought it was kind of interesting that it was, since it was a drag performance, that it took
yes.
on the role that many drags do, where it's a pre-recorded audio track.
Totally, yeah. You know, a lot of drag, you're lip syncing. Some queens
yes.
sing live. Some, you know, queens do original music. Mm-hmm. We're definitely finding our own thing in
cool.
the show.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was really funny, Rents.
Was it always supposed to be Babe Ruth?
Yeah. It was always Babe Ruth, yeah. And the whole song is inspired by like that like infamous Babe Ruth quote. Never let the fear of striking out keep you from slaying the game.
Yes, and it's just done so well. And your choreography with the bat is incredible.
Thank you.
You really worked hard on that,
thanks.
I can tell. Rents, nice job. And Parker Callahan, really quickly, Otter number 4.
Yeah.
And the cowboy otter, I guess you could say.
You could say that again.
Do you have
cowboy
an accent?
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have an accent? Esmeralda.
Oh, yeah, it's mostly, it's just Clarice Starling, but I'm just talking like this the whole time.
And then there's a surprise moment after you take off your hat at one
uh-huh.
moment. Yeah, it's very wonderful. How'd you get involved in the project really quickly?
Oh, you know, I love Adam, and he asked me to do it, so I said, yeah.
Really good story, Parker. Yeah. Saved up for that one the whole hour, exactly. I wish we could chat more with you, Parker, and Rents as well, but we have got to get to the news break. But really, the whole cast and crew, thank you guys so much for coming
thank
in today. We really
us.
Appreciate it. It's Striking Out, a gay baseball musical. It's playing every Saturday at the Annoyance Theater until the middle of June. Really fun stuff. Esmeralda, are you going to go see it?
Oh, for sure.
I'll go again. Well, I'll take you
there
up there.
There you go. I want to see a drag Babe Ruth.
Oh, if that doesn't get you to the show, people, I do not know what will.
I'll see an hour of that. Come on now.
Drag show after?
Yeah, exactly. Do a double feature. A Rents double feature. WGN, John Hanson and the lovely Esmeralda Leon.
Oh, thanks.
You're getting that sultry look in your eyes, Esmeralda.
That's me being sleepy.
That's how you get
the same
things.
Thing.
Well, that was one a gay old time that last hour. That was fun.
Yeah.
It's a
great,
really.
It sounds like a great musical.
Yeah, it is.
There's a drag queen, Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Are you a big musical person?
I'm not a big musical person, but, you know, I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, it is.
Again, drag queen Babe Ruth.
Drag queen Babe Ruth. Come on now. And that really brings the house down. Speaking of bringing things down. breaking up is hard to do.
Oh, it is.
I think, and that's one of these universal things. Everyone's kind of been through a bad breakup at some point in their life, some more recently than others. Some have been through many of them.
Yes.
Some people out there obviously divorced and have been through a couple of those. But, you know, it's often, you know, you listen to music, you maybe eat too much ice cream or you lose a bunch of weight. You know, people handle it differently.
Well, that's the old timey way.
Right. But now, Esmeralda, you've got some good news for us.
Oh, boy. Technology is helping out, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think these are all good. I actually do like this one.
So these are like apps, right?
Yeah, it's all apps, essentially. I don't want to say programs, but services.
Services.
You could say apps and services for helping you break up with someone or the other side of it, the breakee or the breaker.
When I read the headline for this, I thought, oh, maybe there's one or two things. There's a lot of different resources.
People have gotten pretty on that let's break up with people or let's be broken up with.
Yeah.
Business plan.
Well, while we're going through these, 312-91-7200, if you've been recently broken up with, or you broke up with someone, or heck, any time in your past, advice for people. What's your way to get through the pain of a breakup?
And what's the worst breakup?
Oh, or a bad breakup story.
Yes.
Oh, I've got a good one, but we'll save that for a little later. 312-91-7200. Text or call in your best way to get over a breakup. All right, Esmeralda, how can we do it professionally and digitally now?
Professionally.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're professional, I think.
Right.
I think you'd call it that. This one I actually do enjoy. It's from, you use it on Facebook. It's called Take a Break.
Okay.
And it allows you to remove a person's post from your newsfeed. You can limit what that person sees. You can untag photos. Bury, you know, when they're mentioned in posts and stuff like that. Because a lot of times, you know, when you're dating someone, your friends get all mixed up.
Oh, for sure.
And so you see them being tagged in things.
And I believe that
them having fun.
And that one does it where you don't have to unfriend the person that you were dating. Because you don't want them to know you miss them.
Right. You're in pain.
Because I've been after a relationship, someone unfriends me and I'm like, well, that person must be dealing with it poorly.
Right.
Good.
They
deserve it.
You can also unfollow.
Mm-hmm.
You can unfollow and then you'll still be friends with them. You just don't see anything. But I enjoy this one. It probably should add in also, don't show up in the people you may know.
Oh, right. Because if you're still friends, multiple friends.
Well, it's more a thing of, and it's happened to me when I broke up with my boyfriend years ago.
Mm-hmm.
His girlfriend that he then, you know, the one after me, kept showing up in my people you may know.
Oh, I see. Like suggested friends or like people. Oh, that's
no
good.
Because she was friending all of the friends that were his friends, but they were also my friends.
Oh.
So I kept seeing her face in my thing. And I'm just like, no.
No, that's
not
man. Good.
Nah.
Can you take a break from just the really annoying friends that you have in general? Or does just unfollow?
I'm sure you could. I mean, it's not like they say it must be a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you can use this in many ways.
I too back up the unfollow thing. Because that's also, and not even just for Facebook, but even like on
other social medias like Twitter, you can actually mute the person.
Mute person, yeah.
Oh,
and
you
that,
can?
Yeah, and
oh.
that works really well, too.
And they don't know that you've done it.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So you don't have to be mean, like if it's a coworker.
It's basically the same thing. You can still, as on Facebook, if you do the unfollow thing, instead of actually unfollowing the person on Twitter, you can just mute them and you're still followed them and no feelings are hurt. You just don't see or hear anything from them.
It's a gentle...
Yes.
Breakup.
A gentle way to do it. 312-981-7200, your best breakup techniques. Okay, so that's how you do it on Facebook. What else you got for us, Ez?
What's the next one? Because the window closed.
Episode, I don't even have my article up. Here, vamp for a few seconds, or I can do the same thing.
Do-do-do-do-do. I like that when you say vamp, I just start singing. It's like, that's me vamping, right?
Why can't I find this article?
I can't find it either.
Okay.
This is real good.
This is good radio.
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
I found it.
You go ahead.
Okay, so we have that one. And now, if you can get over your ex, this is an app. It's called Mend.
Mend.
And it's billed as your personal trainer for heartbreak.
Your personal trainer. And this is an app.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they offer daily audio training, which I'd be real curious.
Really?
As to what that is. Guided journal entries.
So
this,
it's
is
like,
this is a bit hippy-dippy in my mind.
Yeah.
And advice from fellow survivors.
Survivors now.
It's like, really?
Really.
Okay. And then the first week of training is free, and then after that's a monthly subscription of $10.
How many months do you need a darn thing?
Right. Well, I've heard that it's you for every month.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a week.
I've heard that some people say that it's for every year you date, it's 2 years to get over, which I don't think is true.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of time.
That is a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, so
I
Mend.
I want to say it's a week.
So this seems like life coach stuff.
This is very much so.
So this is involved.
I'm real curious what daily audio training in.
Yeah.
Is,
I would never do. I would never do this.
Do they
one.
Get your name and they're just like, you're really great, John.
Yeah.
You deserve better.
Yeah, they're like, please tell us the name, your name and the name of your ex. And it's like, hello, John. Matt is not good for you. Move on from Matt.
Matt was the worst. Yeah.
He was terrible.
You're so much better than
right.
them.
Okay, so Mend I probably would not do. What else we
no.
got?
No. So we have another app, Breakup Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And this has, you can meet other brokenhearted people together. So
that's...
you can be miserable and whine and complain because that's, you know, that's what you're going
right.
to do.
Right. Isn't that what all single, isn't that what every single app is? It's just people that have had their hearts broken at some point? Or
yes.
is it like recently broken up people?
I'm going to hope it's recently broken
mm-hmm.
up. I mean, people could just stay on there for a very long time. But they match you with people. It uses details of your breakup
okay.
and interests to connect you to like-minded people. So this almost could be a breakup, help you with that, but then also help you with finding
the
someone
rebound.
Else.
There you go. I love how it uses details of your breakup. Like, what information
right.
do you
well,
give
Well, it could
them?
Be like, he broke up with me over text message, or he... cheated on me.
Right.
And it could be other people who've been cheated on.
Right. Or he broke up with me on a roller coaster. So they find
yes.
someone that will that hates amusement parks as your next person. Just so you would never
I
have.
Hate amusement parks and love puppies.
Right. Exactly. All right. Breakup Buddy. That one seems interesting. I think that's,
yeah.
that's a good one for people looking for the rebound.
Right.
That's what it should be called, Rebound Buddy.
There you go. It could be that or then, you know. Company or misery loves company.
Right.
It's just people bickering and complaining about breakups.
Now, some of these were breakups, but some of them are for actual divorce, too, right?
Yeah, I do actually like that these are to get you moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's a service, which, I, you know, it's hard to find a divorce lawyer. And WeVorce helps you.
Right. And how does it help? Because this is a company that actually like makes it way cheaper.
Right. It's cheaper. And then... actually, you know, if you don't need, or not if you don't need, but sometimes, you know, you break up with your couple. If you're married, you don't want a divorce, so you have to maybe try to figure it out. And they do offer mediators and lawyers to do the divorce. But, you know, mediators, sometimes you can, you know, they're there as just the, what do you call it, the middle...
Yeah, the middle person.
The neutral.
Yeah. Well, what I find interesting about this is that there are a lot of divorces out there that are fairly amicable, where people
right.
are... we're both unhappy. It's never... doesn't make it easier. It's just... we're both unhappy.
Right.
Maybe we stayed together for the kids to get to college or something, but now it's time to split up, but I don't want to spend $15,000 on
right.
a lawyer.
And it's not hungry divorce lawyers trying to go
right.
for everything.
And
they're
we're not,
just trying to make it a little simpler.
We're not fighting for this or that. We've kind of figured
yeah.
out whose is what and who's going to get what
right
and
it takes 30 days
And as opposed to, I didn't realize that a divorce can take up to 6 months. And cost,
I've heard years.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure people haggle on certain things.
For sure.
The national average, $15,000 for a divorce. The average divorce cost.
This one's $749.
Easy. Easy peasy.
You're like, come on. Let's get that. Divorced.
Hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break, Esmeralda. We got a few more that have to do with divorce and separating. And we're also going to go to the phone line. So let us know. 312-981-7200. Are you going through a divorce or a breakup? What's the best way to handle it for you emotionally or fiscally? And give some advice to other listeners out there. You're listening to 720 WGN. Little aha here on this Sunday morning. John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon filling in for Dave Plyer. And we're talking about breaking up and ways to help people
talking
break
about
up.
Heartbreak, guys.
Well, the music video kind of has some heartbreak to it. There's like a whole story. Have you ever seen the music video to Take On Me?
It's a very cool video.
It's so good.
It's very good.
There's a lot of bad 80s music videos. There's a lot of good ones, but that one is incredibly well done.
I'm amazed that that just didn't take off, and everyone and their mom made one.
Made one exactly like that.
I mean, I'm sure it took a long time.
I wonder if they hand-drew everything or whether it was computer-generated. I don't know.
I believe they did hand-draw a lot of it.
It's incredible. It's
from what I remember of my pop-up video.
Yeah, it's a... Oh, yeah, I think you guys were talking about that the other day. 312-9170-200, best ways to get over a breakup. We've got some apps for you as well. We're going to go to Stuart. Stuart, out of South Beloit. Stuart, you're going through a divorce right now, right?
No, I've been through one, and I'm over it now. In fact, I like to tell people I'm happily divorced, and in fact, I'm so happy I wish I could divorce her again.
So
I mean, you could do that.
You could try. I mean, I'm sure a lawyer will do it for you.
Yeah, I don't want to pay that money again. But what really kind of helped me out, ironically, is I just had to move out, got an apartment, bought a TV. I'm watching Saturday Night Live using the box the TV came in as the TV stand. And Don Henley happened to be on Saturday Night Live, and he was playing the song Heart of the Matter. And I had heard the song a million times, but never really listened to the lyrics. And it's basically about two people falling out of love, and the chorus is like, I think it's about forgiveness, even if you don't love me anymore. And it just, for some reason, it brought me kind of to tears. Mm-hmm. I'm 6'3" and 250 pounds. I got no problem admitting it brought me to tears, but it made me think, and it's like, okay, yeah, other people go through this, and you're going to go on, you know? And so just for some reason, that song just helped me out, and a buddy of mine like 5-6 years ago was going through a divorce, and I said, here, sit and listen to this song. Wow. And I turned and looked, and, you know, he was like, he had tears coming down his cheeks, and he's like, yeah, it's home, you know?
You bring up such a good point.
Kind of a turning.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point about music, because I remember my very first breakup, my mom talked to me and she said, listen to the radio because there's a $1 billion industry about breakups. Yeah. And it's the music industry. Everything's about breaking up and love and those
Every
feelings.
Every song is either about falling in love or getting hurt and falling out of love. There's not too many songs that are popular that are anything in between.
And when you're going through a breakup.
First emotion or that, you know.
When you're going through a breakup, you really pay attention to those lyrics.
Yes.
For some reason.
Yeah. Like I said, I heard that song a lot of times and just never paid attention. And when I paid attention, they just hit home. I mean,
So
it was comforting to know, hey, I'm not the only one going through this. Other people have gone through this. He had obviously gone through it, or if he hadn't, he was able to channel it very well. Right.
For sure.
Well, sir, we appreciate the phone call.
Hopefully anybody else out there can listen to that song. Maybe it'll bring them some comfort, you know.
That's a great...
But I'm enjoying your show, and I'm going to have to go see that baseball musical.
Yeah!
Great time.
That'll cheer you up, the gay baseball musical. It's really fun, Stuart.
There we go.
All right, have a great day. Thanks for calling in, Stuart.
All right, you too. Thank you.
We appreciate the phone call. And, you know, he brings up a really interesting point, too, and I think that everyone has a breakup song
that you start
to identify with, and everyone's kind of got one. So 312-9170-200, if it is music that gets you out of divorce or gets you through a breakup, or if you have a particular song that gets you through, or you have one that you remember very distinctly for maybe your worst breakup.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? There's a whole Spotify playlist. I didn't make it. Someone else did. It's called Sad Girls Song Days or something like that. And I was like, I'm just going to put that on and sit in the tub and cry.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what, and really you're right that you don't listen to it until you really need to listen to it.
Yeah, all those songs on that playlist, I was like, yeah, no, that's totally what's happening right now. Like, it's just,
You know what's interesting, and this is getting a little deeper than we wanted to get, but so I grew up in high school. Obviously, all my friends were going through their first breakups, and I kind of dated a little bit, but it was more of a farce because I was just putting on a date of girls, and I knew I was gay, but I never really got why my guy friends would be so sad when them and their girlfriends would break up. I didn't get it. I was like, oh, come on, who cares? Just whatever. Or like when a girl would cry over a guy, or when I broke up with my girlfriend and she's sitting there crying. I'm like, why is she so sad? I know, but, and then when you go through it the first time, your eyes open. I mean, then that's when I realized, I'm like, oh my God, this music is speaking to people. But until you have that moment, and since I didn't come out till later, you know, it's a little bit delayed. 312-91-7200, let us know your breakup songs. All right, so what are the other professional software ways we can...
So this is, this is another one for divorce. It's called separate.org. Us, and it's they dub it the TurboTax of divorce.
Oh, sounds good to me.
Yeah, and it was co-founded by a divorce attorney, Sandra Tuzo, and she just found that the forms were just very much annoying. I mean, it's a big hassle. Like in the other one, it was saying it was like, what, 3 to 6 months that it takes time. So this, she makes it way quicker, that you can quickly file all your paperwork on your own, which usually doesn't happen. You need a divorce lawyer.
Yeah, and it makes it a little bit easier to navigate it. That's separate.us. Okay.
Yeah, and the next one, you can make some money.
Yeah, see, that's a good one.
And revenge at the same time.
Who doesn't like that?
This is a pretty much a marketplace called Never Liked It Anyway, and you can buy and sell just all the stuff that your significant ex-significant other left at your house.
This is interesting because having been through a breakup within the last year in a new happy relationship and everything's great, but I just did a move to my new place and digging through boxes and trying to pare down what I was going to bring to the new place, you see mementos, you see things, old pictures, things that remind you of that other person. And that's a whole other discussion of whether you should bring those things to new places or you should get rid of them. And I've always found that, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with someone having like a little shoebox for like certain people, like, you know, like that, that it's just there and comforting. I didn't really end up bringing any of the stuff, and but I had thought about it because it never even to like take it out, just to have it in storage. But this, I could just sell it instead.
You could sell it, make some money rather than burn it.
Do you keep anything from your exes? Like either gifts or mementos?
I mean, I have, I'm sure I have stuff. I mean, the last relationship I was in was 10 years.
Right.
So I have stuff. But I also, and I don't know if this was, it was a little of a conscious decision. Mm-hmm. I would buy most of the things in my, even just as we were together, I bought most of the items. So then when we broke up, I was like, there is no connection. Bye. So I bought this with my money.
You anticipated. You thought ahead. You were planning.
I oddly did, because I realized, like, kitchen stuff, as I was packing it up, I'm like, look, I'm like, mine. This is mine. I bought this. I bought this. This is mine. Like, the only big things we had together was, like, a rug.
Did he get it or did you?
We had a rug and this large piece of furniture. And I was like, you take the rug. I'm taking this. Because it was a buffet stand, a buffet table.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. And I use it as my bar.
Man, you really thought through this breakup.
Isn't that bad?
How early did you start thinking about that sort of stuff into your 10 years?
I always was, because we didn't move in until like maybe 8 years in.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8 of 10. So I, you know what? And it's always a thing of just like, I always try to keep things separate.
Yeah.
It's a weird, it might be just me protecting myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that is. It is. 312-981-7200, your best ways to deal with a breakup or a divorce, or if there's a song out there that helps you get through it. And also, do you keep stuff from your exes as mementos, or would you rather sell them or throw them in the dumpster? I guess that depends on what kind of breakup it was. Quick commercial break, then the news on 720 WGN.
Somebody would have told me, babe, someday these will be the good old days. All the love you forget, and all these reckless nights you regret.
720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Dave Plyer. Boy, we brought things down, Esmeralda.
Yeah, we're real bummers.
Who is that? That's a really great... I know that song. I just... Who's...
It's Macklemore featuring Kesha. The song's titled Good Old Days.
Oh. Kesha's been great lately, by the way. Her new album is killer. We're talking about breaking up, and it's hard to do. 312-981-7200. How do you get through your breakups or divorces? And we kind of got in the conversation of songs and music. I had a great call from south of Beloit from Stuart, who brought up that he had a particular Don Henley song that got him through a messy divorce. And by the way, I learned very late in life how to say that word.
What?
Divorce. It's two syllables. Until about 2 years ago, I said Dvoris.
What?
Like, that rhymed with Dolores.
What?
It's one of those words I said, and then someone went, wait, what are you saying? I'm like, you know, your parents went through a Dvoris.
Dvoris?
That's like my one buddy, Tyler. He, you know, the game Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
calls it Paper, Scissors, Rock.
Well, okay. But some people do call it paper, scissors. I know people that call it paper, yeah. scissors, rock.
No, this is totally not like no. that. That's just switching just, words. He's completely saying this word
I butchered a word for 31 years. I called it Dvoris.
My boyfriend, when we first met, he, I don't know what we were talking about, but he said biopic.
Instead of biopic?
Yeah. I immediately went, excuse me, what?
Oh, yeah. Well, one more time. Common words you realized late in life you said wrong. 312-981-7200. No. So,
I used to say, real quick, I used to say Wyoming. I say it Wyoming.
Wyoming?
Because I was just like, it's a G silent. Silent G. I didn't know. I don't know there.
Why would the G be silent?
Because that's how stuff is.
Yeah, you're right. Know. English is weird.
Wyoming?
Wyoming. Wyoming.
Wyoming.
312-981.
Why do you have trouble with Wyoming?
Well, she's got
no,
it now.
No, I always.
Oh.
Did you not hear what John says wrong?
Or yes, said I wrong? Have.
Dvoris.
Dvoris.
Where did you get that?
I don't know. Maybe I just got Dolores in my head and just started saying Dvoris.
I just thought the G was silent. I mean, it's practically silent.
I have to apologize that I was over recording some stuff and everything, and I was not able to hear all the details of the breakup music instances or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The Neil Sedaka song, have you already touched on that?
No, we haven't gotten to that one. What is that one?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. Oh, is that Neil Sedaka? Okay.
That's a great one.
No, not that one.
Oh. Roger. Oh, Breaking Up's Hard to Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
but he has a slow version.
There's a slow version of that?
Yes.
Can't believe it's true.
It's kind of depressing.
It fits though in the weather.
Girl, there's just no living without you.
Aww.
See, this is the kind of song you have to stare out a window, but that you see all the water running down it.
Yeah. Roger, you and your wife have been together a long time, right?
42 years.
Did you have any, I hate to get too personal, have you ever gone through a breakup, I guess I'll say?
We've gone through rough times.
Not you too, I meant before, right. The life before her.
I don't remember, and I've been trying to think of this. Seriously.
Because you only have eyes for the one.
Well, I mean, it's been 42 years. It's a long time.
But there was a life before her.
Yes, there was.
Did you date?
Yes, I did date.
So you've had breakups.
She just appeared.
Unless you've kept them all along the whole way. Unless you have some side. Never mind.
I have been trying to remember because, you know, I'm old and senile now.
Yeah.
There were a couple of young ladies that I dated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the same time?
One here in Chicago. No, not at the same time.
You're a classy man. Yeah, exactly.
There was one here in Chicago I dated a number of times. We never moved in together. We never discussed... getting serious. Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's dating a number of times?
Maybe about 10 times.
10 dates.
10 dates, separate dates.
Yeah, of course you didn't talk about moving in or...
But this was the 30s, says Merle.
Not the 30s. This was...
10 dates is like, when are we getting married?
Maybe it was the 30s. I can't remember.
You're the senile one, Roger.
Yeah, yes, I know. There was one when I was in college that... without asking, I moved in.
Wait, what?
The hell
that's
is
just
happening?
Squatting,
yeah,
Roger.
You were a
that's
squatter.
Not.
Wow. I already had my own place. It was senior year.
Okay.
And I became very enamored with her. She apparently was a little older, and had her own place off campus. Right. Wasn't a student. Was just working.
A local Carbondale lady.
I don't know if she was local or if she had transplanted there or not, or had stayed there.
Right. She was doing her squatting of her own.
She was squatting of her own, yeah. But that lasted, I think I got too clingy because I was still young.
I think so. I mean, you moved in without her knowing.
Well, I spent way more time there than one dating might.
Did you slowly, start bringing things and eventually you accumulated them?
No, except maybe moving food dressers for the refrigerator.
Okay.
You know.
But you just stayed there all the time.
I would get done with classes, always go over there, staying overnight.
Do you remember
changes of clothes?
Do you remember what happened?
Did she break it off?
She definitely. She was
gotta
like,
go.
She was like, listen, kid, I ain't got time for you. You know.
So how'd you get over it?
I went back to my place and just carried on.
He squatted in another place.
I was you got to understand, I was very naive when I was young. Mm-hmm. Extremely naive.
Right. Clearly, you're talking 10 dates.
I thought it was something. And then, I had dates, but nothing serious.
Concrete.
Nothing. A couple of them I remember where... maybe I sounded a little desperate on the first
date. This is a theme, Roger.
No, seriously. On the first date, I do remember a couple after I was in Bloomington Normal. Uh-huh. This is before I met Bridget. We met down there.
Okay.
So
okay.
This was during my time there before we met each other. And I dated a couple of young ladies. And I thought the date was going really well.
Yeah.
And so I'd have really stupid questions like, so how do you feel about kids?
Oh
really?
Roger.
Yes.
First date.
Yes.
Yeah. After towards the end of the date where I said, hey, I'm having a good time. Yeah, I'm having a good time too. I said, how do you feel about kids? And
what?
That's a quick transition.
Wow,
that
man.
Was you having a good time? What about children?
Yeah, right. No. So that was like a one and out.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, I actually got set
That's
up.
How you
a
end
couple
up with kids
times.
Too.
Ugh.
I got set up once in college with the daughter of one of my professors. The professor set us up. The father.
Oh boy!
What?
Yeah, yeah. We had a couple of dates, and that was it.
Did you? Were you always on the sad end of the breakups? It sounds like.
But I wasn't sad about it.
Because you're just on to the next one.
I was just living life. I'm going, okay.
Spin the wheel. Let's see what happens next.
You're like a tree frog, Roger. You just find the next
I was extremely naive and just, I don't know.
So I see what you're saying. So, yeah, you wouldn't go into the depths of despair. You would realize there's another one coming until the last one comes.
I will admit... will admit.
You've admitted a lot already, so
I know.
This is going to be good.
I know. I will admit that there was a young lady, actually, since nursery school.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
That I have had a crush on.
Wow.
All the way through all nursery school, grade school, junior high, and high school.
Wow.
And we never dated.
Mm-hmm.
She never knew that I had a crush on her. I think she knew that I liked her.
Right, but not that it was a serious...
No. The affection was not in kind.
Right.
But it was not negative.
Right. So you moved in with her and...
No, did not. In fact, she has been happily married for decades.
Okay.
With a family of her own.
Wonderful.
And, that was it. But that was my young puppy love.
That was your crush that you had.
That was my one and only crush other than my wife.
Other than your wife. That's wonderful, Roger. Yeah. So you didn't really ever have to get over it because there would always be someone next along the line.
Well, it's
the train
not that
just
there
kept
was someone
coming.
Next along the line. It was just like, okay,
branch.
Here's another day and, I got to go do a radio show. You know, because that was
you
my
sound
other
like
life.
A dog, like, you know, when you throw the stick and then they see some like a flashing light in the corner.
Yeah, right.
And they're just like, what?
Oh, Roger, you're the best. All right, we got to take a quick commercial break. Send us your text or your calls, 312-981-7200. Either your best breakup songs, we're going to help you get through them with some other apps that we've got, or you can just walk through your litany of who you've dated like Roger did, and we can learn a little bit more about you. But that was wonderful. Quick break, more on 720 WGN. Did I do something wrong there, Curtis? 720 WGN. Am I not hearing the music here? What'd I do? Oh, there we go. My bad, Curtis. 720 WGN. John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon filling in for David Plyer. We're talking about breakups and breakup songs and breakup stories. And Karen texted in. Her go-to breakup song was How Can You Mend a Broken Heart by the Bee Gees. Sad to say there have been many songs since. I totally believe in the healing effects of music. And she gave a little broken heart emoji, Karen. Hope you're not going through that right now. And if you are, that's okay. You know the where you can turn the music. And us, Esmeralda and I, we'll get you through any breakup. At least we'll try to. We got Roger through all seven of his that he just went through.
It was about 70.
Yeah. Let's go to Eric, because Roger, your story actually inspired one of our callers to call in. Eric, you're from Tindley Park. You got a good story about how you met your wife, right?
Yes, I've been with the same woman for 18 years. She was one of my college professors. She looked really good in tight. She looked good in tight jeans and a sweater.
Well, there we go. Now, here's the thing: did you start while she was your college professor, or did you wait till the semester was over? Be honest.
Until it was almost over.
Right before finals.
Yeah, exactly. I only got a B in the class, and
that's true love.
Right, and she had yelled at me for habitually for being late to class, and one day she was really mad. She said, "You know, you're late. I'm tired of you coming in to class late." And I said, "You can't yell at me like that." And she said, "You're late, and I'm your professor." And I said, "Yeah, well, I'm your future husband." And I took her on a. She gave me the deer in the headlights look after I made that comment. I took her on a date that night and been with her for over 18 years.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry if this is too personal. I wonder, though, what's the age difference between you two?
She's 5 years older than me.
Oh, okay. So still very, so she was a new professor. And were you a senior in college or one of your later years? Or?
No, this was, I went to college later on in life.
Okay.
So I think I was 30.
Oh, okay. So this wasn't an 18-year-old with a 24-year-old professor or something along those lines. Well, congratulations.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, we have a lot in common, and I really have no complaints. I'll put it that way.
Do you still run late all the time?
I don't have to anymore. I get special dispensation.
There you go. Eric, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Right. You're welcome. Thank you.
No problem. 312-91-7200 if you've got any... breakup songs or ways you get over a breakup. We got a couple more of the software and the startups, right, Esmeralda? I think we've got a couple more of these left.
So this kind of doesn't pertain to you, but this one, instead of selling the stuff,
right,
this company called Out of Your Life will just take whatever memories and mementos that you have collected over the years. You get a box from them, and then they just... They send it off. Oh, they send it off to be appraised.
Oh, so it will be sold eventually. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I was reading it as they just take them and then put them in a
box. Yeah.
In a corner somewhere, like a la Indiana Jones.
But it looks like it looks like they send you the box and you put the stuff in it.
Right. So you don't have to deal with it.
And then the company sends you a check. That's nice.
That's a nice way to end things.
Out of your life.
This one's kind of terrible.
Okay.
This one's terrible because this is for the dumpers.
Okay, for you dumpers out there.
Yes.
Pay attention.
So it's called breakup text.
No, that doesn't sound good.
Right? So you can send long explanations about where the relationship went wrong.
Oh, no.
You can do something like that, or you can just say that you were eaten by a bear.
Okay.
Right. So they'll just text your other person.
They'll take care of it. Don't they say so?
Which in my head, I'm like, oh no, don't text.
So it's clearly a third party. So you get a text from a random number that says, "Sorry, Johnny has decided
he got eaten by a bear.
It's
see you
over.
Later."
Oh man, that I think that opens the window to the worst breakup you've ever had.
Yeah,
because text isn't good, and I don't want to include anything like from junior high. I think we've all had bad like ones as you pass a note across the class.
Yeah,
I got one worse. I actually know someone who got divorced, was notified of the divorce by fax.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's old school.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. Now, if you did that in this day and age, I think that'd be classy. That'd be kind of cool. But
it was...
when was this? In the height of fax age, 80s?
I would say maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Something like that. Yeah.
The fax came in. Oh, that's not so good. Did they have a cover sheet?
You know what? I don't know. I think it was no. I think they were cheap. Yeah. They just did the one page.
They didn't do a cover sheet.
Yeah, right. Hey, yeah.
This is one page to break up. The cover sheet never made any sense to me.
I know. Especially if you had to go like to a Kinko's or something.
Yes.
And you had to pay for the extra sheet.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Nickel and diamond.
Nickel and diamond. I'd always love when I'd send a fax, it's one sheet, and then there's a cover. It's like, why just put all the information on the cover sheet?
Right, yeah. And there's a, you know, all the information at the top, and then the bottom part was blank. And I'm thinking, I can just put it right there.
Yeah, that's easy.
Jeez.
Easy
I got easy. One more song for you.
Okay, what do you got?
All right, here we go.
Tell me what's wrong with you now. Tell me why I never seem to make you happy.
Oh,
oh heaven knows I tried.
All right.
By the way, it just started to rain.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It started to rain.
Yeah,
real,
from my eyes.
Real hard, too.
Roger, who is this?
He's a Stylistics.
Stylistics, okay.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Break up to makeup.
Break up to makeup.
Oh. So that means there's a good ending, right?
There's a what?
A good break ending, up to makeup.
Break up to makeup.
Okay.
I would think.
Do you have a bad breakup story,
yes.
Esmeralda?
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, my gosh.
Share it.
This
Open
one,
up.
We were, how long were we dating? I don't even know if that was the word, what was happening.
10 dates?
We
like
were hanging out.
You were hanging out. Doing some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He essentially disappeared.
What?
You know the whole ghosting thing? He ghosted on me.
But not digitally. In every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Did he do a John Cena with the hand in front of the face?
I would have liked
John
that.
John Cena reference from Roger Vanish? What has happened?
I would have loved that. I got nothing. He, and actually I was here at the station working on a weekend, and it was, I think it was Christmas.
Uh-huh.
No. We hung out that time. It was after that. I came in here and it's like a Saturday night. Like midnight or something when I got out of work, and I texted him and I was like, hey, do you want to go see a movie? And he goes, yeah, sure. And then I texted him, you know,
the
a
details.
Little bit after. I was like, yeah, where do you want to go? Where do you want to see something? Nothing.
And you've
nothing.
Never heard?
I've never seen... heard from him again. I only know that he's still amongst the living.
Yes.
Because at the time, I had met him on OkCupid.
Right.
And, you know, because I was just scorned and wanted out for revenge and just wanted to, you know, look, you know, you look up everything.
You gotta find
them.
Out, yeah.
He was still on OkCupid, but he was in California now.
So he just got up and went to California.
Yes. I'm just like, what?
You were his last straw of Chicago.
Sure. Although he did kind of foreshadow this, because he did tell me a story about how this one time he went to Seattle to visit a friend of his, and something just didn't jive too well with him, and he didn't even knock on the door. He just turned around and got back on a plane.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was a real cuckoo.
Yeah, because you guys were in the middle of planning to go see a movie.
Right?
Like, it wasn't like you
and
guys
he said
had,
yes.
Yeah,
you want to go see. He could have just said no. Why didn't you just say no? I don't want to go see a movie. And then he said, yes, I will go see
a movie.
It
was the old bait and switch.
I can't believe it. Months. We were seeing each other for months.
Are you sure you didn't say, do you want to go movie? Like, do you want to
go move?
Yeah, to
what was his name? It was Bob.
Oh, Bob. Oh, never date a Bob. Hey, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. 312-981-7200. I've got a pretty good breakup story, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to get some music ready for it and everything like that. But we're going to take a real quick commercial break in the news here on 720 WGN. WGN. John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon filling in for Dave Plyer till 5. We're going to have This Is History coming up at the bottom of the hour, and Walter Jacobson's perspective before the show ends. Until then, we've been talking about breakups, breakup songs, ways to get over breakups. Did we make it through all the software and startups? I think we did.
Yes.
Esmeralda, in that article. And we, you had a boyfriend, literally, boyfriend might be a stronger word
yeah.
for it, guy you were seeing.
Yeah.
Completely disappear off the face of the earth.
And then he ended up in California. Yeah.
Literally asked you to go, do you want to go see a movie? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, what
nothing.
Movie do you want to see?
Nothing.
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 California.
Nothing.
I bet someone's got one that's like that. 312-981-7200. Mine isn't like that in any way. Mine is just a little bit more, well, I'll explain it. So this was my first the first guy that I dated. So the first time I was actually really into a relationship, because I went out with girls in high school. So this is post-college. And so he's a nice guy, great guy. I was into him. Dated for 2 or 3 months maybe. So to set it up a little bit, I was in a sketch comedy group at the time in Champaign-Urbana. And we did a lot of musical stuff in the comedy show. And I often played the piano. So I actually had a really nice full-length piano keyboard. That had weighted keys, so it was heavy and all that stuff. Anyways, I was dating this guy, and after one of the shows, I went back to his place, so we just packed the keyboard in his car, and we didn't want to leave it in the parking lot, so we actually just brought the keyboard up to his place. So the keyboard lived at his apartment for about another month and a half or
so. It was yours.
It was mine.
Okay.
The time for the breakup comes, and I have no idea it's about to happen. And I'm in his apartment. He's like, John, I just want to know you're great, all this stuff, but I think we should go our separate ways, however it goes. And I'm like, wow, okay. I didn't even have any idea. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I think so.
Are you sure?
Well, I didn't know what to say. I'd never been through this. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, like sometimes when people are afraid to actually like say, we're done, they kind of like leave it a little bit more nebulous. And I'm like, I wanted some finality. So I walk towards the door. Slow walk. I'm like, maybe thinking the slower I go, maybe he'll reconsider.
I'm leaving now.
Yep.
I'm really leaving.
Opening this door. Little doorknob turn. It's opening up. Crick. And I get halfway out the door and he goes, John. And he extends his arm and I turn around and it's that moment where you expect him to say, never mind, Ty, I take you back. He says,
just kidding.
Can you get your keyboard?
Oh.
And I lived about a mile and a half away and I did not have my car there. And
no!
I walked across the University of Illinois campus with a piano keyboard.
I imagine
after
this
being
would be,
broken up with.
This would be bad for the keyboard, but I imagine you dragging it.
No, I mean, it had a case. It had a case.
Oh, okay.
And I had to drag it. But I did. Oh. I dragged it along, and it was like Charlie Brown.
Did it start to rain?
I don't remember, but let's say for the sake of the story that it did.
Starts to rain.
I thanked my friends because I remember I got home, and again, I think we talked about the story on the show. That was kind of the moment where I'm like, oh, this is why love sucks. This is why people are sad. Yeah. I get it now.
At one point, you're like, why does it hurt?
Why does it hurt? And I'm 23 years old, and I'm experiencing this for the first time. So then I texted my friends, and we went out drinking, and I forgot all about it, and everything's been great since. And it was fine that night, too. It wasn't that big of a deal, but just the, John, what?
Have you...
Get your keyboard.
Have you talked to this person? Did you after the fact?
Yeah. Well, of course, as it were, 2 months later, he wanted to get back together. I was like, dude, no, bye-bye. I had to carry that keyboard. Maybe you come get the keyboard and bring it back. No.
Those are also great songs.
I'll catch up with him on Facebook every now and then. You know, I will say, to his credit, when we started dating, I was still mostly in the closet. So he was kind of the guy that helped me get through that coming out process. So he's a nice guy and everything. And just I don't know why he didn't offer me a ride.
Good for you.
With the keyboard, or I could get it another time. Why did it have to be right then and there? But he wanted that keyboard out of there. I mean, it was taking up a big spot in his living room, so.
You're so nice about this.
I don't know. Well, what?
I love how you're like, it's a big space it took up.
I would have been
like, forget that guy. Made me drag that thing over.
No, I was just thinking, like, as I was walking across, I'm like, well, this is what it is. This is what life is like, I guess. 312-981-7200 if anyone's got an interesting breakup story that they've been through or a breakup song.
I was going to say, do you ever, because I do this all the time, look up exes?
Not aggressively, but I will every now and then.
And then laugh at them because... They're worse off.
I mostly have had pretty good breakups.
Oh, good for you.
And are buying with the people that I've gone out with in the past, and that's fine. So no, I don't aggressively look them up.
Mine have been good for the most part.
Except for the one that disappeared.
Well, yeah, I can't look him up. I don't remember his name barely. No, but I'm just terrible, I think. And I look up, I'm like, yeah, you're doing not great.
Yeah. It always makes me feel good when they don't look as quite as good. And it makes make me think that it was because of me that they went on some sort of Pringles eating binge or something.
I have an ex who I dodged a bullet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I dodged a very large bullet.
Yeah.
A very large bald-headed bullet.
Oh no.
Yeah, where I'm just like, oh buddy. He was like, when I met him, he's playing hockey.
Right.
He was a soccer player, mm-hmm. and he looked really nice. And now I'm just like, oh boy.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Patrick from Texas. No thank you. It says a Frank breakup song from 1975. So Frank meaning maybe honest.
Yes.
Let's just kiss and say goodbye. Which I don't know if I know that one. I'm going to have to look it up.
I
don't
know
who.
That's sad. That is sad and sweet.
But it is sweet. It is like, let's end this on a note of goodbye. And I think that there's often times in breakups where you're staring at that other person and you both know it.
Right.
But no one wants to say it. And those are sad. Yeah. That was the one that I went through about a year, in the last year or so, was that it just was time for it to be over, which made it just as hard. There was no anger.
Oh, for sure.
There was no anger. It was just, man, this unfortunately, after 4 years, is no longer the thing.
See, mine always anger after the fact.
When you get home from dragging home the keyboard?
Yeah.
That's when you're like, wait.
I feel scorned now.
Yeah. Hey, I want to play a cool game. You sent this really fascinating article about sounds.
Yes.
And sounds that of the past that are
technological sounds.
Yes. That are being slowly retired or phased out, but that we could probably identify on a whim. So we're going to play that game, Name That Sound, after this break on 312. I just gave out the phone number. 720 WGN. Oh, okay. Here we go. WGN. We play lots of games, Esmeralda and I have, in the years that we've co-hosted together. My favorite was, what does your hand smell like right now? But tonight, you remember that one? That was an hour and a half.
I do. Was that?
That filled some
time. Wow. Hour and a half.
Oh, we went for a long time on what people's hands smell like. That's not what we're playing now. We're playing What's That Sound? And the setup for it is what? You found this really fascinating article, right?
Yeah, there's just a lot of quote-unquote technology that is going by the wayside, and a lot of people may or may not know what they sounded like or sound like.
Interesting. So it's, for posterity's sake, a recording of what they sounded like.
Yes.
Just for whatever reason, which is fascinating because when you think of old songs or old things that happened back in the days before they could record anything, it would be fascinating to be able to hear a little bit about what things sounded like, either it's people or the machines that they had or whatever. So we're going to try and guess what these sounds are, and we're going to see if we can do pretty well. So me and Esmeralda, we're not competing. We're going to do this as a team.
Yes.
All right. So Curtis, you ready with sound number one?
I am.
All right. Let's go. Oh. Okay. Oh, there's more. Was this the same thing?
It goes for a little while here, so take your time.
I was going to say telephone, but that's not a telephone.
First, I thought it was those hand crank egg beaters that you use.
What? Oh, I see. That's not technology, John.
Are these egg beaters?
They're not egg beaters.
Is it a telephone call?
Nope.
A ticker.
Oh, is it a news ticker?
Ticker
tape.
Electro type.
Want to start it one more time?
Play one more time.
Yeah.
Okay.
312-981-7200. Name that sound. Something's starting up.
Right. So they're winding it. They're cranking it.
Now it's set.
And then it just
then it turns into a lawnmower.
I'll give you a hint. This is a very, very early model of this piece of media technology.
Media technology.
Oh, well that... Oh, it's not. Well, it's not then I know what it is.
It's not a news ticker.
No.
No.
Oh, is it a projector?
You're close.
Okay.
A... we're not good at this.
Yeah. Go ahead. You can go ahead and tell us.
Yeah.
It's a... film camera Bolex Pilliard H8. It's essentially a movie camera.
Oh, a movie camera. Oh so you would wind it up.
The 309 said record player.
A record player. Okay, that was interesting.
Closer than what we had.
Right. And the 815. Oh, it has a breakup song. Another breakup song, by the way, from the 815. Barbara Streisand. The coloring book.
I think it's coloring.
Oh, coloring book. Sorry. Sorry. I'm bad.
It is spelled differently.
Yeah, we had another guest from 312 as a phonograph. So, no, it's an actual video camera that you must have wound up to be able to get going. Okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
Curtis, play that sound.
Hold on one moment. Let me pull up one that's a little bit different.
Okay.
Because there's a ton of cameras on here.
Okay.
By the way, the 815 just texted the correct spelling of coloring book for you. So, no.
I'm an idiot.
Here we go. Here is a good one. Let's
all right.
do this one.
Name that sound. Mm-hmm. Silence.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. It should be playing. Why isn't it playing?
I think this is old-fashioned
oh,
silence.
Oh, technology.
Yeah.
Why is this not playing?
I don't know, Curtis.
All right, hold on. Let me pull up a different one of all the right. same thing.
Because it's silent?
Yeah, it's oh.
That's a telephone.
That is correct. That's
the old, yeah, okay, yeah. The old rotor.
Yeah, rotary phone.
Oh, very good. That's a rotary telephone. Esmeralda, nice job. Did you ever have a
yeah.
rotary telephone
yeah,
growing
we had
up?
One yeah. in the kitchen.
Yeah.
With the big old cord.
What color was it hanging on the wall?
I want to say it was like a beige.
Okay, yeah. That's a couple. My grandmother had a rotary phone. I'm sure we did early, because I was mm-hmm. born in 84, so I'm sure we did at some point in the 80s, but I can distinctly remember Grandma and Grandpa never getting rid of the rotary phone.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so much fun. I'll have to play it and watch the numbers spin by. Okay, you got another one for yep. first? Mm-hmm. Name that sound.
Oh.
Sounds like someone dying. What the
heck? Oh my gosh.
What?
Is it broken?
No.
One more time.
It might be.
Whatever it is it broken? Oh. What could...
It just sounds like someone like messing with a bucket.
Yeah, it just sounds like they're throwing.
Do you want a hint?
Something.
Yeah, I want a hint.
There's a version of this in your bathroom.
Is it a toilet?
No, not a toilet.
A electric toothbrush.
No.
Don't put that anywhere near your teeth.
This also could be in your kitchen or at the grocery store.
What?
And in your toilet or in your
no,
bathroom?
Not in the toilet.
One more time.
One more time.
312-917-200. Do you know this sound? Is it just a pipe? What is it?
So
do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
It's a scale.
Oh, you're right.
The version that they're doing is you put the like a weight on it,
yes.
and it pops over with the weight.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
I can hear it now. The doctor's
yes.
office. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
man.
A good one. 312-917-200 if you want to play Name That Sound. You got any more ready for us?
I have another one right
these
here.
They're harder than I thought they'd be.
Aren't they?
Because
yeah.
I looked at the main page and I saw a few of them just in general and I was like, oh, I'll be
yeah.
able to get these.
I know what that sounds like.
All right, here we go. Name That Sound. That sounds like egg beaters or a mixer.
Nope.
You really just, all of them, you're going to go egg beaters. I want to say vacuum.
You're kind of on the right track. I'll give you that. Esmeralda, you'd have one of these.
A curling iron.
That's not know. A curling iron?
I don't know.
One more time.
One more time?
One more time.
All right.
This could be a lot of things.
Something I would have.
It's not a vacuum.
Do you mean just me, Curtis, or do you mean ladies?
Ladies in general.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
Is it a blow dryer?
It is a blow dryer.
Okay. I have a blow dryer.
Okay, yeah. I don't have a blow dryer.
I use a blow dryer.
I do not have a blow dryer. Well,
yeah,
I see.
I have short hair. What do I need
I
it for?
Mean, no, yeah, I guess very short hair.
815 had it, by the way, a blow dryer. Yeah, that's supposed to be one of the older ones.
That's the kind you like, it's the bag.
That'll wake up the neighbors. Yes.
Right? It's the bag and you stick your head under it.
Oh, like a hair, like at the
hair salon.
At the salon. Or was it one of the handheld ones, Curtis?
It was one of the ones at the salon.
Oh, it was the salon. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Name that sound. You got another one, Curtis?
Yep.
Right.
By the way, we need to be quiet.
Yes, you're right. We
815.
Okay.
Sorry. Chastising us.
So all right, go ahead, Curtis.
CD changer.
Nope.
What?
Okay. Inside of a jukebox?
It's not a jukebox. You probably had one of these with your TV.
VCR?
You're close.
Ooh. Betamax.
Rewind machine.
Laserdisc.
You're very close.
DVD player?
It's not a DVD player. What was before the DVDs?
VHS.
There you go. VHS player.
Oh, yeah. I said VHS.
Oh, okay.
You said VCR.
VCR, VHS.
Plays VHS. Okay.
Very there you good. Go.
I would have never known what that sounded like in the inside.
It sounded like a CD changer.
Yeah, yeah, I heard that for sure. I had like a six. No, I didn't think I had a 10 CD
oh,
changer in my car.
What?
Yeah, and it
fancy.
Actually was attached in the back. So like, there's some that were six, but mine had. You had it actually. You'd hear it in the back, like you'd put it in the back of the car.
Right.
And it'd go ching ching ching. It sounded like that.
Oh, man.
You got another one for us, Curtis?
I do. Here
all right,
we go.
Name that sound. A fluorescent light?
Nope.
Really?
Give it a minute.
It's warming.
helicopter?
You're kind of on the right track.
Oh. Yes, a helicopter.
Is it a fan?
Yes,
ceiling fan? Ceiling fan.
It's a ceiling fan.
Okay,
yeah.
Ceiling fan.
Helicopter.
I was on the right track, Esmeralda.
Oh, that old technology.
This is harder than I thought it would be, for sure. Curtis, you got another one here for us?
I'm trying to find a good one that might throw you off. Oh, here we go. Let's see if this one will.
All right, name
any
that,
of them.
Name
any
that.
Any of them. Yeah, will throw
okay.
Typewriter?
Yep, there you go.
It's an electric typewriter.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that first.
Yeah.
That first beepy noise.
Yeah, that, I we definitely had an old electric typewriter. I know my parents had the original ones, too, that didn't require any power. But those are the ones that would actually have an erase button on them. And it would kind of like
work?
It would kind of like white it out a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I imagine the electric typewriters just weren't spring loaded. You didn't have to go, like, the buttons just corresponded. All right, you got another one here for
yep.
Name that sound.
Egg beaters.
There you go. Egg beater.
Actually egg beaters.
Esmeralda got an idea. I've been trying the whole time.
Egg beaters.
So does the article say why they recorded these sounds? Is this like
because
for National
Archive?
Because
no one's going to have a VCR anymore.
Right. But why is it for like studies later on? People want to know what it sounds like? Or just for the
because
fun?
Because if we forget,
we can always.
We'll not learn.
I've got Isn't one more.
All right, one more.
And this is I'll give you a hint for this one because it's going to be tough. This is a toy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Name that sound.
The thingy with the Collider. The 3D. No, the thing.
Picture changer.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
What are those called? Is she right?
3D Viewmaster.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. The Viewmaster. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
You're good at this, Esmeralda.
I just guess that's a distinct hook chink. Hook chink.
Oh, man, I picked egg beater for every single one but the egg beater. That was fun. Name that sound. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we got the news time, and then this is history coming up on 720 WGN. John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon filling in for Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. It's 4:30, which is when we normally go up to Roger Badish. We're going to do that again, but Roger, I got to ask you, we've been playing Name That Sound for old technology. We're going to give you a one, okay? You're going to have to name that sound.
All right.
Got the earbuds in?
Both.
One out. There you go. All Let's get them both in. There you go. Roger Badish, can you name this sound?
Yeah, it's a motorbike. Not a motorcycle. It's a motorbike.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're
like a dirt bike.
Roger, did you ever have one of those?
No, I never did. But I've known people who have.
Right. Those kids down the street with their motorbikes.
I did learn how to ride a motorcycle once. Somebody in the neighborhood had one, and we took turns learning how to ride it in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it out of it alive one time through, and I was done with it.
And you were done. You made it.
Yeah,
that was the one.
I don't need to put my body on that kind of a machine anymore.
And, I thought that was egg beaters. It is 4:31, and that means it's news time, and we head up to the newsroom with Roger Badish.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Those circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Half of that equation is here. Dave Schwann is up in the newsroom. John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon downstairs. You ready to get started, Dave?
Oh, yes.
All right, Esmeralda, get us
All
going.
Right. Well, in 1800, Library of Congress is started with a $5,000 investment. Library of Congress is the nation's oldest federal cultural institution and serves as the research arm of Congress. It also is the largest library in the world with 1 million books, recordings, photographs, maps, and manuscripts in its collections.
Have you been there, Esmeralda?
No.
Dave?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so cool.
You've been there. I bet it is.
I was always inspired to go there. I worked in Washington for a year, and I always wanted to go to the Library of Congress because of the famous scene from All the President's Men.
Yes. In fact, when Esmeralda was reading that, I was thinking of that very scene.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a great shot, too. If I remember correctly, they slowly zoom out and up as the shot, and it kind of shows the widening investigation and the diving in. It's a really fascinating shot. That's a great movie, by the way, as well.
You know, it shows them in this vast hall, just sitting there, you know, kind of smallish figures in this huge arena.
Yeah, it's a really cool place.
How much are you able to actually use?
I don't know exactly what the restrictions are, but I'm pretty sure as an American citizen, you're entitled to look up and get anything you want in there, I believe.
Curious, what's the oldest thing you can get your hands on?
I don't know. That's a great question. Let's go find out.
There's probably like a special collections area where you'd make an appointment to go in and look at some rare artifacts. You probably have to have someone to go with you because they handle them. You don't.
But the founding of it was meant to be for us, the citizens, to be able to go find. I always find it fascinating when they nominate or move certain movies into the ones they choose. They're not necessarily the ones that were nominated for Academy Awards, although some are, just ones that have cultural significance. Okay, 1865. Lots happening this week in 1865. One local connection.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. The one local connection is that the Crosby Opera House opened up, but of course, really strange timing in 1865. It was beset by bad timing and worse luck throughout its brief life. Scheduled to open on April 17th, 1865, but the premiere was postponed for 3 days because, Dave Schwann, what happened?
The premiere...
it was postponed.
When it was opened.
Because
of Lincoln's assassination.
Yes, April 14th.
And I think Lincoln went to the predecessor of the Crosby Opera
Really?
House. Yeah, the first one. He always tried to catch a play or a show when he was in Chicago.
Well, and in Washington, unfortunately, as it were. Yeah.
Right.
What was the name of the show he saw? It was
Our American Cousin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And John Wilkes Booth, who was an actor, knew the line, right, that would get a laugh line to cover the door opening up, which he broke the lock, right?
He either broke the lock or just was able to maneuver in. The story is that there was a security guard that was at the door and got a little tired and thought, time for a break.
Wow.
And walked away.
It's amazing the timing of things and how history can be changed by one person taking a nap when they shouldn't be and things along those lines.
Yeah, but he knew the play and he knew that there was one portion of it that would get a big laugh from the audience, and that's when he would make his move, and that's what he did. Did you go there when you were in D.C.?
To the John? Forge Theater?
Yeah.
I did when I went in eighth grade, and I am such a... I love historical places, and I was turned off by it. It was gorgeous the way they did it, and they made it look like... But the Forge Theater was destroyed between... It is not the original. So I just felt jaded the entire time I was there. I was like, this isn't original. As an eighth grader, that's what I was thinking. But I was so into the history, I didn't feel... But across the street, and they still have the room in which Lincoln died. And in Washington, they have a piece of cloth from the clothing that Lincoln was wearing with his blood stain still on it. I find that stuff to be incredibly fascinating, if a little bit macabre. But we were talking about the theater, Dave. Have you been to Forge Theater? Have you made that trek?
Yeah. Yes, years ago when I was a kid. And this was before they did the whole restoration of the theater.
Okay.
So I know when I was there, you could go into the lobby of the building. But I don't recall actually setting foot inside the theater.
Yeah, now you can go sit in the seats.
Now you can go. Yeah, right. They may even do some shows there from time to time.
Hopefully not our American Cousin.
No, I don't think so.
That wouldn't be in good taste.
I don't think so. But, of course, the presidential box where Lincoln was, that's all kind of off limits and still looking. They've recreated it as the way it was on the night of April 14th.
The opera house that we were talking about, Crosby's, ended up burning down just a few years later.
In the fire.
Yeah, exactly. 1871. All right, Esmeralda, you got a fun one next.
The 1876 Chicago Cubs' first National League game in history. They beat Louisville 4 nothing. First NL shutout.
Yeah, there you go, Cubbies. They got shut out yesterday for Zimmer. 2 days ago yesterday to the Braves. And first National League game in history. There
you
go.
I'm sorry I missed that game yesterday. I saw highlights. Wow.
Dave, I was there and I left.
You were there?
I left.
And you left?
I left. John, the Cubs fan, left. It was miserable. Really props to anyone that stayed.
I was going to say that weather yesterday was horrendous.
It was something else. And Dave, I moved into a new place in Lakeview and it's been the curse of me because now the couch is only 2 blocks away. So it's making it hard. 1935, Your Hit Parade begins broadcasting. It became number one quickly. It was the American Bandstand and America's Top 40 program of its time. I've never heard of Your Hit Parade,
Dave. You never heard of that?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it was the precursor to American Bandstand. And it was on, it may have been on radio, but it was in that era after the so-called swing era or big band era, late 40s into the early 50s. And you had people like... Dinah Shore, maybe, was on it.
Mm-hmm. Is it a notable host?
Rosemary Clooney. Well, there was one person who was a host. He may not be so well known these days, but he was very popular in the early 50s. His name was Snooky Lanson.
Snooki. Oh. Isn't there someone from Jersey Shore named Snooki now?
Probably.
Is that
probably
who she's named after?
Yeah, she loves Your Hit Parade.
But there was a singer who was a rather popular person in his time that was a host, at least on a semi-regular basis of the show. Your Hit Parade. Yeah.
Speaking of music, Esmeralda's going to have a really fascinating one, but we got to take a quick commercial break. More of This Is History coming up on 720 WGN. Well, 720 WGN. Just a few more minutes here. Esmeralda Leon and myself filling in for Dave Plyer and Dave Schwann joining us for This Is History. And this song is apropos, right, Esmeralda?
Yes. This is very cool. 1963, Beatles meet Rolling Stones for the first time. Beatles and Rolling Stones meet during a Rolling Stones performance at Crawdaddy Club. Bill Wyman says, "We got all nervous, but then we had a chat with them afterwards and stayed up all night rapping and became really good mates."
Dave, was this a big deal when these two bands meet? Is it just because, you know, they're from different, you know, places, the legends, and then they get to meet for the first time?
Well, I think in 1963, keep in mind, that was about a year before the huge explosion on Ed Sullivan. So I think at that point, I was 7 years old,
right.
but I think at that point, those who were really in the know, particularly in Great Britain, thought it might have been a big deal. Not
right.
necessarily here yet. Had that happened a year later?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So it wasn't like a Reagan-Gorbachev where there was this huge lead up to it and then they have a handshake.
No, but it's what's interesting is looking back on it is, you know, two bands that kind of changed popular music were meeting like that. And
yeah.
We talk about it because it was really cool. The original members of the Stones and, you know, at that time, 63, Ringo might not have been in the band yet. It might have been Pete Best as the drummer.
Oh, well, that, ask him. Yeah. Call him on
and it. It was also really, I mean, the two bands are very different because you're either a Beatles fan or you're a Rolling Stones fan.
Right. Well, I like both. I prefer the Beatles, but early Stones for me, the stuff from the 60s is still awesome.
You mentioned that meeting up, and it's interesting how people have met that have changed history. I always find it fascinating when I find pictures. There's a few of them out there of future presidents meeting former presidents when they were younger. So there's famous photos of Lyndon Johnson and FDR, of Lyndon as a congressman in Texas.
And how about the film of Bill Clinton and John Kennedy shaking hands?
It's just crazy.
That's
to think.
Pretty cool.
And no one in the moment realizes how big that is.
No, you can't.
Of course not. But it's just really cool to think that some of them have met.
Yeah.
1985, this week in history, the trade secret new Coke formula was released. Coca-Cola invented John Pemberton of Atlanta, and the famous trademark name was a suggestion given by Pemberton's bookkeeper, Frank Robinson, for Coke. And the new Coke ended up being a bomb. And Dave, I remember that this was a huge rollout, and people were really upset.
It was. It was like change for the sake of change, I guess, on the part of Coke. And they did make a big deal out of it. Huge
did they get the old Coke off the shelves? Was this like new Coke
that,
and only
I
new
think
Coke?
Was the original intention that they were going to change the formula. Nobody liked it, so they had no choice but to bring back the old formula.
Do you remember what it tasted like?
No.
Do you remember the difference?
I don't even know if I had one.
Wow. I had Coke 2 at one point.
Coke 2, yeah.
Which I thought was fine.
Yeah.
The pizza delivery place I remember growing up we had. So.
Yeah.
All right, into the 90s we go, Esmeralda.
1991, Frank Thomas is first White Sox to homer at the new Comiskey Park.
Well, I knew it wasn't in Game 1, because I think they lost Game 1 at the new Comiskey 17-0, if I remember correctly, when they opened up the new ballpark. So clearly it must have happened in Game 2 or 3. But man, Frank Thomas is a beast. Just watching old film of him, and he was one of those guys that never made it on any of the steroid lists or anything like that. And man, he knew how to take some pitches too. I'm a big Cubs fan, but Frank Thomas was an epic ball player.
Yeah, he was great. And they didn't call him the Big Hurt for nothing.
No, exactly. And my good friend Gene Honda, who I back up for at the United Center for the Blackhawks, his introduction of Frank Thomas, number 35, is stuff of public address legends. But another sports one, 1996, and this is where we'll wrap up. The Bulls were on their way this week to winning their 72nd game in the regular season. And really incredible stuff, obviously 72-10, recently surpassed by the Golden State Warriors. But what the Warriors didn't do, of course, was win the NBA Finals. And the Bulls did that over the Supersonics, I believe, 4-2 in 96, if I'm not mistaken. I think they went up 3-0 in that series against the Supersonics. And the legend is that the Bulls lost on purpose twice to be able to win one at the United Center.
Wanted to win one at the United Center, yeah. Right. They were untouchable back then.
They sure were. All right, Dave, you're going to have a great morning, okay?
Thank you, and it's always good to be with you folks.
It certainly is. Okay, before we wrap things up, we've got to get to the Walter Jacobson Perspective. This brought to you by HearingHealthCenter.com.